Welcome, everyone, to KTWHLP Two Harbors Community Radio, 99.5 on your dial, ktwh.org on your streaming device, bringing you this week's stories behind the stories in the Lake County Press with writer and editor, Kitty Mayo. Good morning, Kitty. How are you on this kind of chilly spring morning?
Good morning, Tom. I am well.
Well, wonderful. Glad to hear that. We have a nice assortment of stories in front of us, starting out with climate resiliency in the region.
Yeah, we'll do that.
Okay, that sounds good. Give me just 1 second, Tom.
Sure, you bet.
Yeah, let's talk about climate resiliency. That's a story from Katja Gordon, and she wrote about what she was viewing at the county board, the most recent county board meeting that she attended. And there was a great presentation done there that talks about grants that are still expected to be coming through that will help create better climate resiliency through many counties in Lake County. And so that was really good news. I was happy to hear that there's some positive action still expected around getting federal grant monies that have already been promised. And these particular ones were through NOAA, through the Weather Service.
Well, very good. Hopefully they haven't been disabled completely yet either. So let us hope for the best. And I'm encouraged by local action on this effort. This is a big deal, actually. There's been a bipartisan town hall with state legislators drawing a crowd.
Well, we're sorry you missed it, Tom. I think you were still out of town. That was last Saturday, and it was quite exciting. I don't know if you've heard tell yet, but I've gotten lots of feedback from people who attended. We had Natalie Zlesnikar, Roger Scraba, and Grant Hochschild on the stage at the Two Harbors High School, and I was the moderator, and boy, was it exciting. So this was a really unusual set of events. Natalie's office, she's a Republican, contacted me and asked if I would moderate this event with them coming all together. They thought it was really important and pretty unusual to have Democrats and Republicans sharing the stage to answer questions. It was lively. It lasted about an hour and a half, and we didn't slow down for a split second. It was really, really interesting and great to see the three of them and how they interact. They're very familiar with each other, and you've either made up your mind to work together at this stage of the game. They've all been in office for a couple of years, or you wouldn't have had the town hall together at all. And that was the biggest remark that I got from everyone after the event, was how remarkable it was that we had these two sides, that we see so much divisiveness happening and sort of blocking progress, that at least these three were willing to talk about their differences in a straightforward way, talk about where they don't agree. But there was a lot of conversation about what they do agree on and how they support each other. It was pretty remarkable. I will say, Tom, and I love to tell people this, there was some heckling at the end of the event. You can imagine there's a lot of high tensions around political stuff and government stuff going on, especially at the federal level, and people are frustrated. So there was some yelling at the end of the event. I thought it was so neat that people waited until the last 5 minutes of the event to kind of holler. I really appreciated that. I thought it was relatively polite, and it was thrilling. I recommend heckling for anyone to at least try it once.
Oh, sure. Well, you know, I am old enough to remember as an adult when it was normal and expected that both parties would come together and work together on things of interest and for the common good of the country. So perhaps that which has divided us most severely is now also the cause of our beginning to come together. And so let us hope that this is the preparatory mutual butt sniffing before we play together. And well, I gotta call it like I see it, I suppose. Silver Bay is having some talks on the water treatment plant upgrades and the funding for it. This is something that we're all too familiar with here in Two Harbors, and now Silver Bay has it as well.
Yeah, they need some major upgrades to the tune of over $12 million at this point for their wastewater treatment and their regular water treatment and their sewer facilities. It's just this aging infrastructure. And while they have spent some considerable money over recent years making sure that it's, you know, can run, there are requirements to keep things safe for everyone. There's something called water main looping, and as I understand it, this is a Minnesota Department of Health requirement that they upgrade, which is about a $800,000 job. But what it does is it makes sure that the water is properly disinfected, which we all want that, right?
Oh, sure.
There's a lot of other stuff that needs to be upgraded as well, so that the people of Silver Bay can have clean drinking water. So these are not minor issues; they're very important. Unfortunately, this is an area where there's some concern that federal funding cuts may have an impact on their ability to get this job done. They're going to need federal funding in order to move ahead with this. I do understand that Lana Freilich, who is the city administrator, was in Washington, D.C. at the time of Monday night's meeting, and hopefully had hoped to be in conversation with Senator Pete Stauber directly, if not with his office. And Wade LaBlanc was leaving just the day after that to go to Washington, D.C. as well to meet with Stauber and others about many critical things, but probably most especially the top priority, the funding that they need for maintaining their water system to be sufficient for safety and health. So this is a big deal, and it didn't seem obvious that there was confidence about federal funding. And it certainly crossed my mind at the time that it was being talked about in the city council meeting, and this is sort of more to the story part of things. I do know that Silver Bay has the attention of Pete Stauber in ways that I have not seen him connect with other entities or people or voters in Lake County. The one time that I got to sit down with Pete and ask him a couple of questions was at the invitation of the mayor of Silver Bay, of Wade LaBlanc. He came to Silver Bay about some of the federal funds that were already granted for water updates in the city, and I got to sit down and kind of just listen into that meeting. So that's kind of a rare sighting, and I just wanted to mention that.
Well, I want to believe in my heart of hearts that Representative Stauber is willing to pay attention to Silver Bay, because it is an iron mining connected community, and he's all about mining. And so for that, if not for other reasons as well, he should pay close attention to whatever they're saying up there in Silver Bay, especially when it comes to their health and well-being. And
you connect the dots well. I just want to say that the largest water consumer in the city is Cleveland Cliffs. So let's underline that.
You bet, of course. On to something perhaps a little bit more interesting. Adventurer Lonnie Dupre is at it again. This time he's going to abuse himself by sailing, relying on the winds to bring him to the Arctic Circle via sailboat. He will not be alone. He will have some crew with him. It's difficult to sail a boat all by yourself 24 hours a day. So, yes, more power to him.
Absolutely true. So I finally got to meet Lonnie Dupre in person, along with Pascal Marceau, his partner, and the person who's going to see this trip through from start to finish with him. They were in Two Harbors a few days ago. I was very excited. You know, I mean, Lonnie and Pascal do things that I am so excited to learn about but would never do myself. It's a little too much excitement for me. I think they're going out of Grand Marais today as we're speaking on April 10th, and I believe that Mark Gordon will be helping them launch and sail across Lake Superior in the first leg of their trip. He'll come back home and then join them again later. So really exciting that we have a local person to follow on this journey, and we'll be reporting on it right along as they go.
You bet. This is a big deal. As the oceans rise and ocean traffic will be paying more attention to the more northerly climes, and so he is kind of exploring in a way and studying things that need to be studied and observing things that should be observed. Strength to his arm. If there's just two of them on that boat, they're going to be on port and starboard duty, which means standing watch and watch, make sure that they're staying on course, and it's going to be a sleep deficit time for the both of them.
I think they have people tag teaming in for different portions. So I think there will be four crew the entirety of the trip, but I'm not certain on that. We'll get to find out more.
You bet. Well, we'll read about it in the newspaper probably. There is a nice piece from Michelle Miller in Inspiration Station there. Boils down to basically take time to do something for fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Michelle is really good at reminding us at least once a month with her column about what creative things can do for our overall well-being, whether it's our physical health, our mental health, our social health, and how these are the bright points that are so important to keep us going and be able to refocus on the things that are work or important to us or that are hard. So a good reminder by Michelle to have some fun.
Yes, yes. It's a necessary thing. Money is ruining college sports. The way it's working out now, these colleges are basically training grounds for professional athletes with maybe a side gig in incidental education.
There's so much more to that story. So you're referring to an op-ed piece by a student from William Kelly High School. I love this, the opinion that's coming out of this and how they formed that idea. There's a couple of this week, and there'll be several more printed in coming weeks. And this is a wonderful collaboration between English teacher Katie Fritz up at the William Kelly High School in Silver Bay, and she invites me in once a year to talk to her college writing students about op-eds, and we kind of work on them together. What are they? What are they for? What's the purpose? How do you write them well to get people to pay attention? And then students do those till they polish them up, and they send them in to me to be printed.
Excellent, excellent. So newspaper is an adjunct to a more complete education, and this is a demonstration of that. Hats off to the Fourth Estate and to the students who are taking part. Is there anything else that you'd really like to get out, Kitty? We've got the time.
Yeah, well, I would just make a mention for people to check out A Call for Artists. There's two calls for artists. One is in Silver Bay. One is in Two Harbors. I love being able to repeat A Call for Artists. I think, like Michelle, that art makes our world a better place. It has a really important function for all of us, and I appreciate artists, and I want to let them know there's some opportunities to display their work at the Silver Bay Public Library, and the details of that are in the newspaper this week, as well as, and this is exciting news, the potential for a mural, the first, we hope, of several in Two Harbors. So if you're a muralist, there's a process that's open right now for you to put in a bid about what you would do for the city of Two Harbors, and that's a paying gig. It's really important. This looks like it might be most likely a mural on the Two Harbors City Hall. That's not an official statement, but that's what the conversation has been around. So I'm excited. I love murals. I think it's going to make our town better.
Well, I got to tell you, as a longtime tourist, I've driven from Maine to Alaska and most of the states in between, with the nudge of my dear wife. And one thing that always gets our attention, especially in smaller towns, is the murals that they have seen fit to include as part of the town's scenery. They're telling stories about the town or about the region and the people therein, and I think it is now our turn. You bet.
Yeah.
Well, I have realized that I can still run this board a little bit. We might have a blank spot in there someplace, but that's an electronic fluke with our telephone system. And so to our listeners out there, thank you for tuning in. We'll see you on the radio again next week. And to you, Kitty, as well, thank you and bye for now.
Thanks, Tom. Bye.